Good evening. I hope you had a chance to speak to someone new this morning, potentially. It was a good morning, as Pastor and Josh has already shared. And so with, I guess, this morning in mind and this short series in mind, I want to continue on the theme of witnessing tonight. And Paul's heart here, if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is to preach the gospel at all costs to all people. And he certainly was a trailblazer, Paul the Apostle. And he comes and he gives us a word here tonight by the Holy Spirit. And I pray we can apply it in our day and age to people around us, people we rub shoulders with. So if we could please take up our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Particularly want to look at verses 19 to 22 tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to us. We thank you that the Trinity is real. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Pray that even as you work this morning, you would continue with us tonight. We rely on you. Lord, I rely on you. Lord, please speak a word to us and encourage each heart, challenge each heart tonight. Help us to be effective witnesses for you in our generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last time in this church series, we looked at the theme of ambassadors and our ministry of reconciliation, compelling people to come in. And last time we looked at Paul's heart and looked at his pleading with people. We're not just mere message bearers, but pleading ambassadors, calling people to be reconciled to God. It's always a thrill and a privilege when you're able to get someone's ear and they're able to sit down with you, or they're able to stop and converse with you and hear the gospel. Hear the gospel. And so Paul has this heart of an ambassador, and he teaches us to be ambassadors. Perhaps you had opportunity this morning, perhaps this past week, or perhaps this coming week. The Lord will give you an opportunity to bring the gospel in, to bring a message of salvation in to some lost soul. So tonight I want to look at what Paul is saying here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, particularly verses 19, where he says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, to those under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." By all means save some. So I want to continue tonight on this message on reaching people and on witnessing. What are the mechanics of this? How does this work out? How can we apply this this text to our lives tonight? And so first I want to give two quick disclaimers about becoming all things to all. So this idea of being approachable, being in people's lives, rubbing shoulders with people. We've already covered topics such as being in the world and not of the world, being carefully entrusted with this word, but not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. "I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we need to become like the world to reach them. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we lower our Christian standards so we become more accepted in society. It doesn't mean that. But importantly also, it doesn't mean that we sit on our high horse, as it were. We don't become prideful that we're different or that we're someone special. No, we should be approachable by all. And as much as it lies within us to live peaceably with all men and be approachable in this context of witnessing and in this context of, you know, we're all, as the children were talking about today after lunch, we're all from Adam's race. We're all from Noah's Ark. We're all the 8 billion people on this earth. We're all, was it 8 or 7? We're all integrated somehow, aren't we? So how do we serve all men? How do we reach all men? What is Paul's cry here? Well, the first thing he says in verse 19, he says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all." Now, Paul, he displays an attitude of humility. So the first point I want to talk about tonight is we need humility to be able to serve all men, to be able to reach people for Christ. We need an attitude of humility. Paul is a Roman citizen. Paul has this freedom. And Paul is also a believer. He's come and he's accepted the free gift of Christ. And he has a double liberty. He's a Roman citizen, as it were. He's free in that regard from the laws of the Jews in that sense. But he was also free in Christ. He has a liberty in Christ. But yet he empties himself. He empties himself. So he becomes a servant to all. He had every right. He had every ability to be above the common man, Paul. But yet he displays this idea of having no reputation. But remember our Lord Jesus. He is the pinnacle of all example. He in Philippians 2:7 we read that he makes himself of no reputation. And he takes the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbles himself and becomes obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. We see here when Paul says, "I'm free from all men, yet I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." And our Lord Jesus becomes the firstborn among many brethren because he comes and he makes himself of no reputation. He takes on himself the form of a bondservant. He comes in the likeness of men and he humbles himself and we see he becomes obedient to the death of the cross. And I want to say our attitude when we come, when we meet with people, when we rub shoulders to shoulder with people is that we should have and display an attitude of humility, an attitude of being emptied of ourself and of our pride, emptied of ourself. Yes. We live in a hard-hearted culture. Yes, we do live in a culture where few might hear you. But if you can get an open door with someone, if you can speak to someone, if you can be of that heart, of that mindset of humility, doors will open up to you. Maybe the cleaner at work. Maybe someone who is on the fringes. Maybe someone in the school who's an outcast. Maybe someone who's a loser in the so-called eyes of the world. God will give you an opportunity if you yourself become of no reputation. In the school system, there's, you know, a pretty strong pattern of, you know, these are the kids who are in. You want to be in with those kids. These are the sporty. These are the nerds. And this is the subclass. You know, there's all these cultural cliques, aren't there, in the school system. And in the world, in society, it goes like that as well. But the idea is having no reputation. The idea is humbling yourself to win that soul for Christ. Maybe it's the simple, maybe it's the uneducated, the rejected, the sinner. We shouldn't be discouraged. We should go to all. Our Lord Jesus, he said, "Go to the highways, go to the byways if it's necessary and compel the people to come in." But if we are proud in heart, if we're unwilling to rub shoulders to shoulder with the lowly, with the rejected, with the outcasts, we'll not get far with people. If we display an attitude that we are higher or that we have something, you know, just because we have something special, we are special and we don't become of that servant heart, people will see that. People will smell that. You know, when pride comes in, when we're proud of heart, man detects that. It's an interesting thing, but Psalm 138:6 says, "Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar." And God has made man in his own image, And something of that nature is in people. They can detect, especially now in Australian culture, they can detect you. They can smell it from afar. Something's been left behind of God in man. And so we need to take the lower road. If we want to see the gospel furthered, remember what Paul is dealing with. Paul is dealing with a church that has a lot of pride, has a lot of clashes. I'm preaching to the faithful Sunday night crowd here, but you know, there's a lot of culture clash. There's a lot of pride that can come in and we can clash. And there are divisions and contentions. And the Bible wants to stop us from going down that road. Because when we look outside of ourselves, when we look to witnessing, when we look to propagating the gospel, I believe there'll be less and less issues, divisions and contentions in the church at large. There in Corinth, the brethren wanted to have the preeminence amongst one another. But as John the Baptist said, I must decrease and Jesus must increase. That's the humility. That's the spirit. Look at our Lord Jesus. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And look at Paul's example, who comes, who's the teacher of the teacher, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he comes and says, I'm going to free myself. I'm going to become the servant of all. And even with that liberty he possessed, he comes down and he rubs shoulders. He rubs shoulders and becomes servant of all. He becomes of no reputation. So if we want to witness for Christ, if we want to be effective in the propagation of the gospel, we need to be servants to all. I have made myself a servant to all, Paul writes, that I might win the more. And then in verse 20 he says, and to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews, to those under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. So what's this subcategory? What's this category of people? So there's those under the law and then those without the law. And maybe an explanation is to look at other texts in Scripture which talk of Israel and the Gentiles. And so there are those under the law, and then there are the Gentiles, the Greeks. And when in 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul says, when we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews he's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks his foolishness. And if you've ever door knocked or have ever witnessed to people, there's pretty clear subcategories that do appear. There's the churched, or there's the religious. I go to church. I'm a Catholic, or I've been to church, or I've done this, or once I've said a sinner's prayer, or, what are you talking about? I don't want to hear it. There is no God. So there are these churched, as it were, or people that know about God, know about religious things, spiritual things, and then the ones who, as Pastor shared this morning, I have no spiritual beliefs at all. They'll be quick to say that. And so how do we bring the gospel? I thought, what is Paul saying here? Do we have a different approach? What do we do to reach these two categories of people? So I've made myself a servant. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be approachable. I'm not going to be proud of heart. I'm going to try and rub shoulders with everyone, with the lowly, especially the rejected. And then I approach the ones who are in the churched category, the religious category, and the ones who are not in the religious category. And how do I come to them? But I believe we come to them with the same message, the same gospel, but we can approach it differently. We can approach it differently. We don't change the word. Christ and the gospel of Christ is the answer to both categories. In verse 20, we read that Christ is the answer to those under the law. We could call them the churched. Seeing as we don't come into contact with many Orthodox Jews in our part of the world. But this category of people, they understand foundational principles. Maybe they've been to Sunday school. Maybe they've heard the Word of God. But you can be in church all your life. And like that example that Pastor gave this morning, 70 years in church, and you can still miss it. You know, the Jews, they had the oracles of God committed to them. They had the law and the prophets. And when Jesus came, they said, who is this? They said they loved God. They wore the robes. They did all the ceremonial practices. And when Jesus came, when the Messiah came, they missed it. And so there are people in religious circles. There are people in churches who totally miss who God is. They may have externalities. They may appear impressive. But if there is no reformation of their heart, if there is no salvation or a changed heart, there is nothing. There is nothing. And so when you rub shoulder to shoulder with people in work and in your place of employment or study, wherever it might be, look out for these people. Look out for people who are religious but unsaved and approach them. It's a difficult category of people. You may have heard the term, someone needs to be unsaved. Sometimes you come and people are full of their own righteousness. But the gospel is the answer. The word of God, the Holy Spirit, is the answer for these people. You know, the external systems of religion give people a comfort zone. But the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, penetrates that. It penetrates that. There's this external facade. There are rules and regulations. And so here Paul is dealing with people who were under the law that he might win them. He's dealing with Jews. He's trying to get into their skin. He's trying to walk in their shoes a mile to try and work out how they think, how they click. But he's not changing the message to them. He's humbling himself, but he's not changing the message. And so, friends, we need to be able to bring the word of God. We need to be able to approach people where they are at their level. And so, right through the ages, right through the ages, since our Lord Jesus, right to today, as Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. This is Romans 10:1. But not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So the Jew and those under the law and those who are religious, they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. So you meet this category of people all the time. Maybe they're Jehovah's Witnesses. Maybe they're Catholics. Maybe they're in some other subset or class of Christendom, so-called Christendom, but they do not know Christ. They have not been saved. Bring the gospel. Look for opportunities. Look for ways to reach these people, because if there is not deliverance from sin, if there is not salvation, they still abide under the wrath of God, because no one will ever stand before God and be acceptable because of their own good works. I'm dealing with a man like that at work right now. He's a nice man. He's a Jehovah's Witness. He's a nice young lad though. Nice young lad. I'm trying to get him. I'm speaking to him. I'm trying to get him to a meal. He's still saying no, but he came so close the other week. I came so close. I nearly got him to Macca's. We were on site. The McDonald's was there. I said, come on, I'll take you. No. He knew something was fishy. He knew I was going to bring the gospel to him. But there are those people, they're really good people, they have a zeal for religion, for God, for something, but not according to knowledge, not according to knowledge. They're trying to get to heaven because of their own good works, because of their own righteousness. No one will ever stand before God and be acceptable to God because of their own merits, because of their own goodness. Because of their own righteousness, no one will be in heaven. No one will stand before the throne of God and say, Lord, but look at what I've done. Lord, look. Lord this, Lord that. No one. Only those who have seen their own weakness and have been remarkably and truly saved by God. So bring the gospel. Bring the gospel to the weak. Bring the gospel to those under the law. Bring the gospel to those without the law. Spurgeon writes of those who are religious but unsaved, and he says, I will bring before you one peculiar class of persons whose conversion some of us should very earnestly pray for. They are the kind of people who are here described by the apostle. Israelites, religious people, intensely religious in their way, although that way is not the way of truth. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They are righteous people, self-righteous people, people that have done no ill, but on the contrary, they have labored to do a great deal of good. They are running and running well, but they are not running on the right road. They are laboring and laboring hard, but they are not laboring in the right style, and so they will miss their reward. Many of these people are around us, and very admirable people they are in many ways, but their condition causes us the utmost anxiety. From a preaching series from Spurgeon, Zealous But Wrong. Nice title. Zealous but wrong. The people are all around us. Does it cause us anxiety? Does it give us a burden to see people in these classes of Christianity which are without Christ? They are ignorant of God's righteousness. They're seeking to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. We can pray for them. We're not to become like them, but we're to be aware of them. And we are to try, through any means possible, to win them to Christ. To win them to Christ. To share Christ with them. So the gospel of Christ is the answer to those who are churched and unsaved. The gospel of Christ, we read in verse 21, the gospel of Christ is the answer to those without the law. As 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. It's a stumbling block to the ones who are churched. I don't need God. I have God. I have God. I go to church, or I read my Bible, or I read the Watchtower, or whatever I do. I'm a religious person. And to the Greeks, foolishness. Those who are unchurched. Those who are not seekers. Those who are superstitious. Those who are living for this age and the things of this age. Oh, friends, this is a big class of people. A big class of people. It's such a great deception of our time. You know the retirement plan? People with boats and caravans. Going on cruises, seeing out the last years of their lives consumed with self, with no thought of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with recreation in and of itself. In fact, we should have recreation in our lives. We should have a break. But this is the goal and the end game, friends. This is the difference. This is their religion. This is their life. This is their passion, their focus, their drive. To get to retirement, to store up a bunch of things, and then to enjoy the remaining years of life. And this message, it may seem foolishness to a people who have been deceived by this. Our Western society has this notion that everyone seems to get to heaven, or everyone seems to get to a better place somewhere in the end, unless you are a really, really bad person, like a murderer or worse. But friends, this is great, great deception. And so I'm not trying to be discouraging tonight in this. It's a very, very hard group of people. These subsets, these subclauses. They're a hard group of people. But what is the answer? The gospel of Christ. The gospel, the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we do not know who will turn. We do not know how long it will take. And there are cases that seem so far out that God has done a work in. There are people who seem so far gone, and yet God has saved them. So witness. Witness to those under the law. Witness to those who don't have the law, who are lawless. Because the Bible says that the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. And God's word is perfect, and it will work on any class of people. Paul closes by saying, to the weak I have become as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. There are the weak. There are the fearful. There are the ones that are running, though no one is pursuing. There are the ones, friends, all around us who are in depression and who have anxiety. Draw near. Draw near to those who are struggling. Draw near to those who are weak. Let's win souls by all godly means. Again, this idea of becoming weak, becoming a servant, is intertwined with humility. Paul becomes a servant, he becomes weak. He tries every possibility, everything he can. He doesn't change the message, but he molds himself to draw near to man. He makes himself of no reputation. And this rings of humility. And we should try what we can. Walking a fine line, being godly. Being godly, this doesn't mean that we become like the world, or this doesn't mean that we become like the anxious or like the ones who are weak. No, but it means that we come into their sphere. It means we come into their space, and by all means we try and win some. Paul stoops low. Paul reaches high within the liberty of the gospel of grace to win some to Christ. He will not sin. He will not go against his conscience. But he will walk a fine line between man and God. And he calls the church to imitate him. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's a careful walk, but it's for the sake of the glorious gospel. Because friends, the glorious gospel is the most enduring, everlasting prize that there is. This is not a gimmick. This is not a self-help for this 80 years on earth. This is the most enduring message, the everlasting prize, salvation, the gospel. And that should motivate us. It should motivate us to witness that I might win those, that I might win people, that I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now when a missionary goes into a foreign field, they try and dress like the people. They try and eat like the people. They try and take on the customs of the people in as far as they can without sinning or going against their conscience. You read of Hudson Taylor, who went right against the Christian culture of his day by growing a goatee, a beard, and dressing in Chinese clothes. And he did all things. Look at his life. Look at his life. What motivation he had. Motivation to reach people for Christ. To do all things possible. And in our culture that might be different. That might be different. It might be taking someone to a meal. It might be playing soccer with someone. It might, whatever it might be. It might be coming into their space. It might be going into those who are hurting and hurting with them. But bringing the gospel, bringing the message, the hope of the gospel to them. Oh friends, look at our Lord Jesus. I want to close with this thought. You see the suffering of the apostles. You see the humility of Paul. You see our brethren, past, present and future. And we see our Lord Jesus. And I want to just draw the message to him, to our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus loved us so much that he came to this earth to become as we are. What greater act of love can ever be displayed? It cannot be surpassed. He came into our brokenness. He came and he was humiliated. And the Bible says that not only death, but the death of humiliation. The death of the cross. Where you're stripped of all that is human. All that you are. Spat upon. Ridiculed. Bearing the brunt of man's fleshliness. And the full wrath of God. Oh, what love is this? Oh, what a mystery. Meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. And so we see he hangs upon the tree for you and for me. And coming in the likeness of men, he dies a cross like death. And he to us, by entering our brokenness, the Son of Man, becomes our greatest example. He becomes the greatest example of how to reach people for God. He is the ultimate picture. He is the ultimate example. He comes into our brokenness. He was able to go into the temple and discuss with the scribes and the Pharisees, with the lawmakers. He, with the most intelligent people of the world, he was able to humble himself so much, being God, yet he was able to go and discuss. He was able to go into the tax collectors and the sinners' home and be called a drunkard and a glutton and reach them for the kingdom of God. Oh, what an example, friends. Oh, what an example. Bow down and worship, for this is our God. Look for opportunities, friends. I counsel you, I encourage you. Look at the people around you. They might be there right on the end of your face like a pair of glasses. They might be right there and you can miss them. Walk with God. Be spiritual. Be spirit-filled and God will lead you to souls. They may be the churched or the unchurched. They may be struggling. But as to the, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means, I like that, by all means save some. And God will save some. He will. He has promised it. God will save some. 99 might reject you, but God will still save that one. He will save some. How deep the Father's love for us. We're going to close with this.